EX to your listing.
This is KI7 QMD Mobile listening on 19 Link System.
KC8 VSU.
KA8BCW Mobile. Good morning, Toby.
Today, 55 degrees, better than 38.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I'm at 57 on my end.
So, just hitting the road here this morning, and we got quite a bit of fog up here. How about you down there?
Nope, nothing here. Let's go ahead. You walked all over the other guy.
Hey, sorry about that. I was listening for a while, and I didn't hear anybody but your voice, so, weird. Anyway, you guys go ahead. I'm going to go back to listening for a minute.
Okay, yeah, no, yesterday was a fun day down here.
Did you have anything other than torrential rain like we had up here? I'm hearing that there's some flooding in certain areas. We're obviously seeing water across the roads and really high rivers and streams up here.
Yes, we did. We had some roads kind of covered off. We had a landslide in our area. We had to block off until they could get in there and get the loader in and on the thing, and I see a lot of erosion damage going on, a lot of water still flowing. I had a lot of water coming down my road. I'm the last culvert on the thing, and it all ended up in my lower yard. Yeah, we got a lot more rain than we needed at one time. And I mean, one of our, it's still going to be crazy the next couple days.
This is really turning into, I think, one of the crappiest springs on record, except for last year. That'd be really hard to beat that one. But hey, I'm pulling into the gym for my daily dose of pain, so I will say 73, catch you later, and try to keep your feet dry. K8BCW.
Okay, yeah, I've got to go down to the office today. We had a wildfire call on Saturday with a neighboring township, had to go assist Tom, then two calls yesterday. So I got some catching up to do and checking a few things. So talk to you later. KCAVSU. KI7QMD, KCAVSU, what way did you head into work? Nothing here, KCAVSU.
This is KI7 QMD Mobile monitoring 145.19 Link System.
Is that work? KCAVSU, I just called you about 2 minutes ago.
turn the volume down. How you doing out there?
Oh, not bad. Well, where did you go up to Harbor today? Did you go 131 or did you go Turkey Waden?
Yeah, I'm on the 131. I'm in Boynton Falls right now, I guess it is, or whatever the heck it is. Boynton View, Boynton, but I don't know. Well, I'm at the Boynton City Potassi intersection here in Boynton Falls. Anyway, yeah, I got 59 degrees up here.
55 here, but I'll take it over 38 or 28. did your boat go slow yesterday with all that rain?
No, it doesn't go anywhere in my garage. it just sits on the trailer, happy as hell.
Trust me, yeah. That was some nasty rain yesterday. Oh my God, I think we've cleaned out all the culvert pipes on my road. I looked down in my little bottom part of my yard to see if I saw anything that was worth collecting that somebody may have thrown in the ditch that came down the culvert pipes.
Yeah, I know. We had a good bit of water flowing yesterday. I was down cruising around in Traverse City yesterday, I think it was. Went down to the Costco. And there was a lot of water on the road. People making some big splashes.
Oh, I know. Hey, Rick, I gotta run to the restroom a minute. I'll be right back. KCABS. Okay, Rick, yeah. Well, there's a lot of washouts and stuff. If you come up Terre Highway there in that little dip area as you're going north, the one side's basically almost all washed out.
Which little dip? The big little dip or the little dip?
The big dip north of the Karen, north of the Karen Monument there, just before Camp Bell Road, that little dip.
The one that falls off on both sides, part of that's washed out?
Oh, yeah, she took some rain yesterday. The southbound side, you can see where the grass is gone.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah, there's that other little area up just before you get on 31 there, where you see all the turtles crossing, whatever time of year that is. I was wondering how mushy that was in that area.
I didn't look too close last night. We're up in that area on a car deer accident and stuff, but I didn't really look. But no, we had a call down in Northwest Church yesterday, north of Campbell, south of Sutter, and because of a landslide, and it blocked the road, so we had to wait for road commission and the power company, because there was a tree that came down and it stayed up, and then there were some trees on the power lines too, so we had to wait for them. So what fun we had yesterday, and then, yeah, 1 minute, Saturday we get a wildfire call over in Elk Rapids Township, and now we get all this rain yesterday. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah, you're not kidding. Hey, I saw, what the heck, I was coming in, I was out, would be east of Chalkaska coming in. I was coming back up from IKEA down in Canton. So east of Chalkaska, there's a lake, and the south end of that lake, there was something really big burning down that way. That was that was Saturday. There's nothing worse than waiting for somebody or something to happen while you're standing in the rain. That's just annoying as heck.
Well, I know. Well, I was in the truck. I turned a few people around. We had both ends closed and road commission, and then Great Lakes got there, got everything handled, and yeah, we're only there for a couple hours, so that's okay. And today I gotta go down to the station anyway to take care of some stuff I need to do, and it's gonna be a crazy Monday. I'm gonna call it a crazy day.
Yeah, I think we got more rain coming this week. Last I looked, the whole week was full of rain. Kind of interesting.
Well, and you know what? We're not in the drought mode anymore. Everybody's saying we're out of the drought now. I mean, remember how slight it's been or just not enough? Well, now we got too much. I look at some of the yards around here and, whew, they're flooded good.
Yeah, I'm curious what it's done to the lake level. Hopefully it's come up because we really needed some water in the lake. A whole lot of shallow going on.
Oh, trust me, all the dams, the Bel Air dams and the Elk Rapids dams are all open. They're full open. I mean, they're trying to do water, and up in Sheboygan, they had to bring in extra pumps. So there's, and I think the Lansing River, Lansing Crooked Lake area, they've got some more water there. So, yeah, there's quite a bit of stuff going on.
That's good. It'll make for a nice boating season if we got plenty of water. So, yeah, these clouds are thick. I'm over at the Springville Road here, the turnoff to go down Walloon. There's just clouds and clouds and clouds everywhere. Wow. Anyway, I'm almost into Petoskey, so there isn't anything to switch over to anymore here. The only repeater that really works is the 1-9. The 6-8 or whatever it is, 6886, I get them confused. The one up in Sussmanville is 6, and other than the 1-9, there isn't much of anything going on up here.
And I think we're going to see a lot of that happening, where we're going to probably end up losing some repeaters, because I'm hearing a lot of things going on. I'm hearing that now you got to have, the tie downs have to be inspected every so many years, and the concrete base. I think we're going to see some issues with repeaters, because some are on these towers for free, and now I think they're going to start having to charge to make all this happen. So I have a bad feeling from what I've heard that there's going to be some surprises coming. Some repeaters may go offline. You know, I don't know for sure, but it really does kind of surprise me a little bit. I heard it here. A couple guys were talking on here about how they have to have the cables inspected and then the concrete base and all that. So, yeah, it's going to get interesting.
Yeah, well, you would think the commercial operators would donate the space for the ham radio guys, but, you know, you never know. They gotta, if they're gonna have their towers up anyway, they're gonna have to have them inspected, you know. The question is, if they're not using them, are they gonna drop them so they don't have to pay all the money? But, I don't know. And who the heck do you get to inspect that stuff? That's gotta be a pain in the neck, too.
Yeah, I was trying to see if Adam or Drake came on, but yeah, I know I'm hearing that, and I'm hearing some areas are going to probably because they're going to start charging people on the tower. They're going to say, hey, guys, we need money for this. So, yeah. Okay, Rick, well, I'm going to get going here, and we'll talk to you later. And KI7QMD, KCABSU. Have a good one.
Have a good one, Toby. 73, KI7, QMD Mobile, back to listening on 1-9. KI7, QMD Mobile, 145, 1-9, link system.
DMH, Alpha Charlie 8 Delta Golf. I'll be at the test.
Morning, Mr. Jim. How are things?
Hey, we're keeping our head above the rain, but I had an interesting thing about I was upgrading my network switches to 2.5. I found out as long as you keep one thing hooked in that's at a low data rate, well, it bogs down the entire network. I didn't realize that.
What? You mean like downstream, like as your main link to other things? Or like just one device in general on that switch just bogs the whole thing down?
On that particular switch, it degrades the entire switch to a lower data rate. At least that's on my cheap switches.
Wow. I have never heard of that in my entire life.
Yeah, I guess, you know, some chipsets, they default to the lowest common denominator and apply that to all the ports that they're controlling. I'm going to have to figure out something different.
Yeah, it sounds like you might be buying a new switch.
Or getting rid of those couple devices that were... No, you're right. It's definitely a switch problem.
Real quick, Mr. Jim, how do you copy me on this one? I just switched over to the receiver. An upside to upgrading, but it's part of the upgrade.
in there, because I hadn't talked to you for a week or so, so I wanted to say good morning, but I'll let you travel on. ACTT, I'll free up the network here.
By making it into the 19, you're 18, DYS mobile.
When you were on the 7-4, I'm assuming you were on the 7-4 earlier. You were just nothing but noise. So, I mean, if you're less than maybe 8-9 miles from the 7-4, it's worth using it. But, yeah, just stick to the 1-9.
Roger, roger. Yeah, I'm heading towards Atlanta. So, I'm going to be losing this one here. Just figuring I'd say hi. And we're just coming out of Gaylord here. We're leaving Gaylord heading east.
Oh, well, if you're heading over that way, and I'm getting a phone call from the boss. Be right back. Thank you.
Am I making the 1-9 pretty decent or no?
Well, if I get over by 33, it's just 700. downstate radio stuff.
Yeah, I got about 85-90% of that. But, man, it's real damp. I was supposed to go to Sheboygan this week, but that's been postponed because of the issue they've got with the dam up there. All the fire departments are real busy, so that's being postponed, and I guess I got to do other things.
Yeah, I got a lot of water on the ground here in the field. Every low spot is full, so I'm curious to see what it's going to be like over by the river.
I can tell you, a lot of water. In places that it probably shouldn't be.
Yeah, I've heard, they're underwater, so. Not good at all. But, I'm looking out and I see a whole lot of snow. So, I guess there's nothing wrong with that.
You know, what's really weird is Saturday it was sunny and it didn't reach 60 degrees. Yesterday and today, it's rainy and cloudy and it's 60 plus. You know, really weird. And any patch of snow that I see, is just, there's just that fog / haze just kind of sitting on top of it because of the temperature difference. It's really interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I'm going by a bunch of it right now. And yep, pretty weird looking. It is soggy. So yeah, we're just cruising along. Got to go to a state park. So that's another good sign of spring. Going to the state park is, hopefully I'm making it in. I went through a low spot there. I'm delivering some stuff to the state park at 30, just north of Atlanta there, so that's wonderful. It'll be good to see them. I haven't been there in a while to deliver, so it'll be cool to say hi.
Yeah, good deal. Yeah, it's funny. The longer we've been chatting, the better your signal's been getting. So it started out pretty rough, and now you're pretty solid. Just got some mild picket fencing now, but anyway. Now, usually up towards that way, like M32, 33 area, especially 33 south of M32, I've experienced the 700 works pretty well. So, especially now that it's on the other tower and the antenna's in a slightly different spot and it's up a little higher. It cranks up that way, so I've even been able to use it over in Alpena. So, I guess take that for what it's worth. But, yeah, good deal. This is, I would say, a good sign of spring. Holy cow, there's a lot of fog over there because of the snow. Good sign of spring. I don't have, I actually felt comfortable leaving the house today without a sweatshirt. I just got a long sleeve that I actually had to roll it up, so I can get used to this.
Oh, I hear the Skywarn Plus coming on there. That's cool.
Yeah.
I got that UHF procedure at home. Kind of nice. Let me see. What was it? Oh, I put a sweatshirt on today, so. But I don't know. I might, you know, when I leave for work, I don't know what's going to happen. So I just prepare for the worst. So, but yeah, I don't really talk on the repeaters a whole lot driving. I'll get on once or twice during the day. have any idea what the coverage is, but I know it's been kind of rough for me anyway, because I'm so directional. This vehicle, the way the antenna is oriented, it's very directional, but, well, when the 700 was on the other tower, I was able to get it from Castile County. It was okay. It didn't receive me that well, but I can actually hear it half scale on my signal meter at home, and a couple guys in Gladwin get it full scale, so it transmits out really far.
Yeah, every once in a while I can hear it at my new place now that I got my antenna in the air about 30 foot. It sounded like a maypole. And it's not even 30 foot, it's like 25 foot or something like that. Nothing crazy, it's not a super high gain antenna, it's just a Diamond X30. I just got that up over the weekend, and then I got a second X30 that's just kind of strapped onto the side of a fence, and I've got a little experimental UHF repeater at home. It doesn't have All-Star capability on it yet. It's just a standalone machine right now, an MPR-2000, so like 25 watts or something like that, with one of those little flat-pack duplexers, which I never thought I would ever see myself hooking up a flat-pack duplexer to a MPR-2000 in my lifetime, but here I am. It works all right. It covers downtown and along Hammond-ish, kind of. I mean, it doesn't really go much further south than Hammond because of Lafreniere Hills directly south of me, so yay hills, but it's a little experimental machine, and I threw a whole bunch of nonsense announcements on there because I got bored.
Well, the one that's at my house has All-Star. I just use it basically as a high-power node, but it has full duplex capability, so it just gives you a little more versatility. So it is kind of nice. It doesn't have a very large footprint. It goes a few miles south. I get about 15 miles, and west I only get about four or five. So, but it does. To the east, I get about 10 to 15-ish, you know, depending on where you're at. So it just depends on the terrain. But basically, high power, node. Something to do with it. It's just something to mess around with.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of nice to have a little, you know, experimental machine. So I kind of always have had one. I kind of use it as just a little playground or a sandbox, if you will. And to give you an idea of how bored I got while I was programming that thing up, every day at 5 p.m. it says it's time for whiskey. And I thought that was hilarious. And then if you kerchunk it, like if you key it up less than, I think, a half a second, it says no. Which can be entertaining.
You went away.
Am I back now?
You're back now.
What of all that did you get?
5 o'clock whiskey. If you could chunk it.
Yeah, if you could chunk it, it says no.
Yeah, I think I remember something like that going on in the 86.
Yeah, we had to turn that off because it was getting, well, it was based off of, holy fog up here, Batman. It was going based off of just carrier activity instead of carrier plus PL activation, and we have a little bit of a noise issue there, so it would cause the carrier detect line or logic to just randomly key sometimes, and then it would just randomly say, stop it.
I gotcha. Yeah, that requires a little bit more in-depth programming, so. Oh, there's a guy on the side of the road here. Yeah, that's pretty funny. Yeah, 5 o'clock whiskey. I'm not a whiskey guy, but I can, I mean, I'm not opposed to it. I can, some good high-quality stuff, I can get down on that.
From my experience, when I work on repeaters while I'm slightly inebriated, usually the funniest stuff comes out of that. I don't work on high-profile stuff. I just work on my personal stuff when I'm in that kind of state. And usually that's when funny stuff happens. And that stuff will stay because everyone else ends up appreciating it into some sort of capacity, which is a good thing, I suppose.
Good. Good morning. Been reading the mail here for a little bit. Yeah, earlier, there might have been a network hiccup somewhere, because I heard your entire transmission about the thing saying no. Just left the house here to head up, meet with one of our techs up at the EMU tower in Ypsilanti. Oh, I love playing with repeaters. I've built them for a long time. I occasionally come up with creative messages. I was going to say, it's not on right now because it's, our place is shut down for the winter, but, you know, in the Hammond Bay area, I've got 444.6, you know, same as the, I can't give you the name of it, the other repeater that's up there. It's on a different tone. It's 114.8. But I can't hear that repeater in the Hammond Bay area, so it works out okay. It's a master. Those were the crystals that were already in it. WTPT.
See if I've got it. I do. Master 2. Now that is a repeater you cannot kill unless you're really, really trying. But even then, you're hard-pressed. That's a solid machine. Oldie but a goodie right there. I think the best creation I came up with was the meows of 147.26 in Traverse. Every so often I'll add a different meow. And it cycles through them, so, you know, every 5-10 minutes before the carrier drops, it meows. And the meow is my cat. So I think I'm up to 40 different meows. Seems a little excessive, but I don't know. It's pretty hilarious. Go ahead, Ryan.
Roger, roger. Yeah, well, that's what it's all about. Everybody likes to do different things. We were just talking about that on the radio earlier this morning, so I'm just coming into Atlanta here. I'm going to jump off the radio. Out capital of Michigan here, so repeater's coming in really good now, so I'll jump back on after a short. I got to make a pit stop here in Atlanta, and then I'm off to 30. I'm going to head 33 north. So you guys be careful out there. KDYS, we'll be standing by.
All right, well, be safe up there. I've been watching the cameras closely multiple times a day at our place in Ankiak. Mostly because I'm dreaming about being up there. I'm not worried about the water, but yeah, most of the snow has melted off the roof yet. You know, the one piece I've not been able to successfully recreate with the on the All-Star, the Linkcom controller, not Linkcom, the S-Com controllers, you can create a water drip. You know, was it a series of, I think they were 10 millisecond, you know, like increasing frequency beeps, and it sounded pretty smooth, like a water drip. The All-Star image just doesn't recreate that real well.
It's funny you say that. I thought about trying that, actually. Maybe I'll try it, but if you couldn't figure it out, I doubt I'll be able to figure it out. But, the CARC in Traverse has we had an SCOM 7330 on Quantar that we've got, and that's an awesome controller. Not exactly the simplest thing to program, but you know, the versatility that thing has is unreal. It's kind of like a modern RLC-3. Which I have experience with one of those too. Actually, CPSCO has one, and it kicked the bucket a couple of years ago. And it's kind of a shame because that's a really neat controller. It's got all 8 ports in it. It's got the auto patch card in it. It's got the 2 I/O boards. It's got everything. First, it started out with the DVR not DVRing, and I had to disable the DVR. Then once I disabled the DVR, a whole bunch of macros got angry, and then eventually it decided I'm just going to dead key every port and not respond to anything. So, you know, I think Nelson's got it. I'll have to grab it from him. Add it to the rainy day project list.
Yeah, factory default to see if it gets happy again. Occasionally, no, I have a Linkcom, the RLC-1, and oh god, that thing has been a solid performer, man. Very well. It's basic, but what an awesome controller, man. Oh, that I bought it new in 96, somewhere around there. Actually, right now, up on the 444-375 on top of DTE in Detroit. Used to be my primary controller on the repeater at the house till I got the RC-210. But yeah, I put the commands in. I recreate the drip beep on the All-Star. It just doesn't have that really smooth sound that the S-Com had. I did that on plenty of the old MRC-100s and the 5Ks.
Robotic on me. Are you on a mobile node?
Yeah, we could have been having some packet loss. Yeah, I'm on my on a mobile node here. The the test repeater, as I call it, at home, has very very limited range. So we'll run out of range of that real quick. But yeah, have a hot spot here with the mobile node.
Oh, good deal. Yeah, a buddy of mine just got an RC-210.
he's going to play with that, and I've got a couple Cat 250s. My machine at home is on a Cat 250, and then my UHF is a Cat 250, 44435 at the hospital. That one's a Cat 250. I like having two controllers. I don't really like working on hardware controllers live sometimes, unless they have the ability to, restore to a known good config. Like with the Cat 250, you don't really have that option. You know, everything's done over DTMF, or if you have the super rare software that you can use to program it with a computer, which I don't have. You can use the RS-232 port on it. So you have that to, back up your old config or whatever. But doing it over TTMF, you make one mistake. Usually, with that controller, you can't really... it's just got macros and stuff, and usually you can kind of set it back to something that works, but something more extreme, like a 7330. You make one typo, and you can nuke your whole config.
Oh, yeah, isn't that the trick? Well, I just recently interfaced a 250 to an MSF 5000 going to my friends in Western New York. And actually, that 250 came out of the Master 2 that I have up north. The overall Master 2 came from the estate of the LW9LKI down in Indiana. It used to be tied into the East Coast Reflector for a long time before he passed away. I got it from his estate sale. And it eventually made its way up to our place. But, I put the, All-Star in as a controller for that, because I wanted to be able to link in. That was the first 250, first CAT controller in general that I've really done any work with, and it almost broke my brain trying to figure out how to program it, because for some reason the logic behind how they explain their commands and the way things work, I just could not. I've been doing this crap since the late 80s, and I just could not wrap my brain around that. And finally something clicked, and I had to default the thing. There was some weird glitch in it. It was not working right, handling the CORs and stuff properly. And we got it. Yeah, most of the stuff I've played with over the years has been the RLCs and the SCOM stuff, now the RC210. I think I've set up four of those now. The one on my repeater, the U of M, 10 meter and UHF setup is using one of those, and another friend in Western New York. I'm just completing the second one I've done for him. Yeah, I really like the 210. It's pretty good. The software for it works, on the computer for programming, works very, very well.
Yeah. I would say my only gripe with the 250 right now is its vocab is kind of limited. It doesn't even have 100 or, the word 100 in its vocab, which kind of shocked me a little bit, but oh well. I've kind of been on the hunt, looking around on eBay. I've been looking for a WX250, or it was a WX200 or 250. It's whatever the weather radio receiver decoder thing is. Been looking for one of those, and then a Cat 500 or a 1000, which that's going to be hard to come by, because those are the higher end, and nobody really wants to get rid of them.
and they've been out of production for a little while, too. I actually had thought about seeing if anybody was interested in purchasing a 250, because it seems like there's still a market for the cat stuff. But when my buddy asked me to build him a repeater for 549 to replace something back home, it's like, oh, hey, I got a perfect spot for this thing. Bingo.
Right. And one thing, I would end up, you know, using AppRepeat for everything, but it doesn't handle... My only gripe with AppRepeat right now is it doesn't handle IDing like an SCOM or like a cat controller where you unkey and it immediately starts IDing. I just want it, you know, if it needs to ID, when I unkey, I want that thing to ID, just get it out of the way instead of, you know, doing it 5 seconds or, you know, after the courtesy tone. It just never sat right with me. And there's no feature for, a squelch tail message, you know, like after you unkey, it'll play a message or something like that. You know, it's got the transmitter dropout tail message. It's got that. But no squelch tail. That's something I wish it had. But there's always room for improvement. It is software. It just requires somebody with enough brain to, you know, add that feature. Unfortunately, I'm not the one that has enough brain to do that. But maybe one of these days I'll experiment.
I'm not that person either. But yeah, the ASL, I use the hand VoIP image because, you know, frankly, I like the user interface for setup. You know, the menu program, I think, is configured so much easier. You know, you don't have to remember, you know, the various command lines to bring up the other menus. It's all just one menu, and it works really smooth. I mean, the ASL has come a long way. It is, you know, light years ahead of where it used to be for user friendliness. But, you know, when I started using that, I was like, I'll try it. We'll see how this goes. And, you know, after I got my first one configured, I started getting into, doing a little bit of custom programming. I generally don't customize the repeaters very much. You know, I might have some custom ID messages, but, you know, I'm kind of the mindset of, I'll say less is more. The more complex you make it, sometimes the more of a pain in the butt it is. So, but I was concerned about reliability and, you know, hasn't had to reboot a computer multiple times in a day. I'm thinking, you know, this could be a hassle if I have to wind up, you know, keep rebooting stuff. And then, you know, knock on wood, over, you know, time is showing that it's pretty darn reliable. So I've kind of embraced that as as my controller of choice. Just into the city of Ipsipup. I've been to this EMU site a lot in the last few months. I've got a project with Washtenaw County. We're building a four-site non-MPSCS 800.
WAZEP.
And that's, you know, one of the sites.
Right. I think there was another station in there. I don't know. It was interesting. I heard a squelch tail on top of you, and then I think there was somebody else in there. Another station, go ahead. And I guess not. But my only issue with HamVoIP I've got is it's on an ancient kernel, and it's running an old version of
it's on it. I don't remember if it's Arch or Debian. I think it's Debian. Pretty sure it is. And it's just so out of date. It's like from like, it's on a version from like 2022 or 23, maybe even 21, honestly. And that's kind of my main gripe with it. It's also kind of a bit more of a pain in the butt to set up the USB radio driver. It doesn't have the USB radio tuning dealio in its ASL menu, or in the Hamboy menu. It's only got simple USB in it. And now that ASL 3 is around, and I usually just get a blank Debian Trixie install going, and I just install ASL 3 on it. It usually just works fine. The one thing that I wish ASL did that Hamboid does currently is you can assign a different courtesy tone on a per node basis based on node number. Which I wanted to do that with 2.6 because I wanted to you have different tones like N for north, so you could tell what receiver whoever is using locally. But unfortunately my dreams were crushed.
Yeah, that actually is pretty sweet. I've only used it in a couple of spots, but it's that has proven to be a nice feature. I've heard people say, well, the kernel's out of date. Well, yeah, but so is a lot of things. Unless there's some compelling security issue, you're usually sitting behind a firewall, there's not a lot of, as long as you're not setting the defaults with passwords and stuff. I will take tried and true, something that's proven over the latest and the greatest ever any day. I have been screwed too many times by upgrading to, we're going to upgrade to the latest and the greatest, only to find out that, it comes with a whole new set of bugs and is just, a huge pain. I've only ever used the simple USB. I mean, it works fine. It's very easy to do. I always use filtered audio. I never use discriminator audio. So I'm using, filtered gated audio. I also never anymore use the carrier indicator. I found that to be nothing but a hassle. So I only ever use PLT code, because when are you ever going to use your repeater or node in carrier squelch? Never. Although a lot of the Modo stuff, which I primarily work with, if the radio's programmed for carrier, the PL detect line, it follows the state of radio. So, like I say, I only ever use the PLT code or receive me line, if you want to call it that.
Well, believe it or not, when we swapped over to the 7330 controller for 8.6 on the Quantar, you can go in and change what the DTMF encoder, like the access control for the DTMF encoder or decoder, and you can set it to just carrier access. So you can send DTMF to it with just, a carrier. The controller will decode it, but it won't activate the repeater. And I found that to be a kind of a handy feature.
Yeah, and I could see where that could be of some use. If you don't want people knowing you're controlling it. another alternate route around that is, run a of it into the control receiver input. Which you don't really have that in the All-Star controllers. Well, I mean, you can, but it's a different node number, and you have to put it into the remote control in order to do that. Which I found sometimes works great, and sometimes doesn't work at all. I'm not really sure why. All right, well, I'm just pulling up to the drive here that goes back to the big old tower. Let's see, is Jesse here yet? The gate is not open, so Jesse is not here yet. All right, hey, we'll talk to you later. I'm going to open up and get in here and do my thing. WQPP.
Hey, man. Well, yeah, fine over there. I'm actually just rolling into Petoskey, so I'm about 2 or 3 minutes from my destination myself, so. 7-3, sir. Enjoy the day. WQPUT. Hey, DMH Mobile. Awesome. Anyway, all right. Sounds good, Ron, and let's just hope we don't start floating here. Any feeling? Yeah, Ryan, KBOIS, are you on frequency?
Yeah, hang on.
Hey, it's looking like it's coming from that way.
Node 5, 8, 6, 1, 7.
Alright, I was able to drop it.
Disconnected.
Yeah, that's Mark, KCAQVX. I don't know what he's doing. I'm not there. So, alright, I gotta get out here. I'm unloading.
Alright, have fun. Thank you.
Node 3, 4, 9, 3, 7, 6, 7. Disconnected.
Hey, VCW.
W from WHR.
And then mobile monitoring.
NHCM.
NHCM, KCBSU.
Hey, Toby. How's it going today?
Busy.
I was going to say, in a word, yeah, that'll do it. That's a good summary. I am enjoying the last few minutes of my lunch break. And, get back to her here myself. What else is going on?
Well, I'm just starting lunch. I've been kind of busy this morning.
Good busy or bad busy?
Blood busy.
Okay, well, I guess unless you're a vampire, that's probably bad.
Our township office, the basement flooded, so we had to take a pump over and try and get all the water out, and we can't. They got to call somebody in to do it. I mean, it's so bad with our culvert being kind of plugged up.
Well, flood. I thought you said blood. I was like, well, that ain't good. Yeah, I've had a couple friends with that issue over the last couple days. Like, the ground is still frozen, and we had a ton of rain, so things aren't draining the way they should. And, in a few cases, they've been wet vacuuming it out and pumping it, but then it just comes right back in through the wall, because, you know, so they end up fighting a losing battle. It's got to let it sit for a little bit, and then dry it out when they can, and then rebuild the construction better later, and get the tar on the outside, and I don't know what they do about the floor, but yeah, it's been a rough couple days.
Yeah, it has. We even had a landslide yesterday off Weathertop on the southwest or northwest towards St. Charles, so we had to shut that down. Oh yeah, and I'll send you photos of what happened here. You won't believe what I could have been. I had Way River and Way Lake going at one time.
Well, that's definitely not where you want to be, so. That stinks. Is that at your place or somewhere else?
Oh, I'll show you my place. I'm getting ready to send it here. Hold on a minute. Yeah, no, it was here. I mean, that rain was so heavy. I mean, Joe, it was nasty heavy. Hold on a minute here. I've got to look at something here. I mean, nope, that's not there. There you go. Yeah. No, it was bad. I mean, right now Torch Lake is full. All the dams are open. They've got the Lair Dam. If that gets up anymore, they're going to be in a ready stage. Yeah, this is not good. And there's some roads closed. I heard up on M-119 going between Cross Village and Goodhart, the roads all washed out.
Well, that's not good. I don't even know what the fix is for that. You can't, like, make more places for water to go.
No, you can't. It's hard enough. They've got all the dams opened, and I mean, this is going to be real interesting for a while, but, you know, it might cut down that fire danger and bring us out of the drought mode. I've heard the drought monitor is neutral now, so we got enough water for a while, but we don't.
Well, maybe this is what they need to issue a FEMA grant. I know the last time they applied for one, it was denied, so, you know. Maybe this one will resonate with somebody. Who knows?
Well, I know. I know up in Sheboygan, there's a little nerve with the dam up there. Crooked Lake River or whatever is all up to houses. Yeah. So, it's not good. So, yeah. Okay, Joe, I'm going to get back to Ben's my lunch here, so we'll talk to you later.
All right, Dolly, well, dry off, enjoy your lunch. I'm just out here feeding my last chicken. And, get back at her for the rest of the day. Casey at DSU? At ATS? Hope your luck changes and things go better. 7-3.
Hey, Joe, you going to be around Saturday?
I might be towing my car to some dude over on the west side of town, though, because, I think piston rings are exploded, but we'll find out. I don't know for sure yet. Why, what's going on Saturday?
Oh, I'm going to be up for my GMRS meeting, and maybe we can figure out what I screwed up on APRS.
Well, I'm guessing you screwed up everything.
Oh, I did something.
Yeah, probably. I'm looking at a robin just like maybe 5 feet away from me. Oh, four now. Just doesn't even care that I'm here. Dude is super loud. I don't know if you can hear it or not, but man. It's a nice day here, even though it's not sunny. Well, yeah, if you're in town Saturday and I can get over there, maybe we can help fix your radio.
Okay, yeah, if not, maybe I'll just screenshot it and you can see what's on the display or see what I did wrong or something. I don't know, I haven't looked it up to see if it's showing, but it's showing me in Japan.
Konnichiwa.
Yeah, I don't know, we'll see. And maybe we'll work on that AB thing, too. Okay, talk to you later. And 18 in KCABSU, 73.
Alrighty, sir. You too. Yeah, we'll figure it out for you. I also... Well, I ordered some new line. I thought for a little while that my dipole came down. And I was going to be really upset about it. The dipole's still up there. The coax that feeds it, though, decided to splice itself right in half, so... I guess I focused on the wrong thing last time. It stayed up, but the wire didn't. 73. KZ8BSU, NAZN.
Hey, Joe, you gotta watch that new neighbor of yours. He's tricky. He could pull something on you and really mess up your antennas.
Oh, I had a nice quiet place floor 2 weeks ago. Ever since then. Holy cow.
I'm sorry. I hope it gets better. Well, that's what happens when you get drink living next to you.
Yeah, my house isn't the one that catches on fire. All right, Dolly, I'll talk to you later. 73. Thanks, Sam. WAPPC Mobile.
KB8FK mobile monitoring.
Hey, BCW.
About the dam in Sheboygan, I heard they were raising one of the bridges out of caution, and I saw some ice go through some of the barriers over the weekend. And obviously, with the tissue plant being defunct and essentially abandoned, is there concern about potential damage there or problems with the dam? I'm guessing that hasn't had much maintenance. I'm not clear on what the ownership there is anymore, but at one time I thought the tissue plant was responsible for the hydro facilities and likely some of the dam mechanics, and I'm not clear on
who's responsible for that now that the tissue plant is no longer a viable entity. You hearing anything locally about what's going to go on there?
Well, there's definitely some controversy about the neglect and the failure to do anything since the fire in 23. You know, it's almost 3 years ago now. So I think there's plenty of blame to go around as far as what did or didn't happen. Apparently, I know that the land across the road that's sort of up on that cement platform, that's where the new mixed-use development was supposed to be. That's privately owned now, and the actual pit plant itself on the east side of the road, that's also privately owned. I don't know if it's by the same owners or not, though. And there are two gates, two of those floodway gates, that operated the hydro in the paper plant. Those are not open, at least as of yesterday, because there's no power there. So they have to get power there, and then if the hydraulics would still work after 3 years of sitting, you know, without doing anything. Those extra two gates, that would give them another 40% of capacity in terms of drainage, and I think that's their priority. They do have a bunch of auxiliary pumps and stuff there, but that's like, you know, peeing in the ocean. They've got, last I knew, there were five, first there was one, then there was five, then there was eight. Now I'm told there might be as many as 12. But they're running, you know, an 8-inch or 12-inch discharge, so even though that's thousands of gallons an hour, it doesn't mean anything, you know. It's nothing. So I think the majority of it is going to be if they're able to get those gates, those two extra gates open.
Well, there's a few things I know about the power to that site and some of the things that went on there, but not suitable for discussion over the air, but I was concerned about that. Is that something that's going to end up falling on the city and, i.e., the taxpayers to deal with and take care of if there's damage or other problems there? And I hope that a solution can be struck and avoid any other problems.
Well, I think ultimately I think the state owns the dam. It would ultimately fall on the DNR, and they have plenty of presence around there. We were there Saturday morning, 11 o'clock Saturday morning, beautiful, bright, sunny day. Cold as heck, but it was a sunny, really pretty day. Took a bunch of pictures. There were 10 Consumers Energy trucks working at the substation there, and the story is that they're trying to get temp power, you know, back to the hydro. Assumably to operate the gates. The other thing that they did is overnight they pulled the doors, you know, the actual guillotine doors that operate those other, all the open chutes, I think there's six, they actually removed those doors to give them more capacity through those chutes and tunnels. And I think that made a little bit of a difference, too. My situation in my yard has actually gotten better since this morning. So, you know, they've got their little ready, set, go plan. They were talking about, you know, when it got to 12 inches, they would institute the ready plan. Well, that happened overnight, and about 5:30 in the morning, they gave that alert. And then a couple hours later, it was back up to 13.75, or should I say down to 13.75. So I'm not exactly sure where it is this minute, but over the course of the last 24 hours, it got way worse, and now it's already slightly receding. And, yeah, I think I know what you were going to say, but okay on the offline discussion at a later time.
Yeah, Christy and I were out and about yesterday and, you know, just driving around the northern part of Emmett County and looking at all the high water in places where you never would have expected to see water. i.e. not just at the river crossings and stream crossings. It was pretty crazy. And, of course, it was raining really, really hard yesterday over here, probably the same over there. So, thankfully, I'm sure this respite and rain today has helped that situation greatly, but I believe we've got more coming tonight, so I hope it won't overwhelm everybody's efforts there.
Now, there's a flood watch all the way to Sunday. Supposed to be flood watch. So they're saying that 2 to 3 inches of rain between now and I think Thursday.
Oof, I hadn't heard that. Wow. Talk about saturation.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm driving around the canals in my neighborhood. And they're not catastrophic, you know. There's water over the docks, and there's water over the seawalls, and there's a little bit of water in people in the road, but it could be a lot worse, and I'm guessing it probably will get a lot worse, or it'll get better.
Yeah, let's just hope it's an event to make a good story out of and doesn't result in a lot of damage or problems that people are going to have to deal with. I hope everything's over there.
Well, that would just be catastrophic if they lost that dam. And I think as I said, I'm sure there's plenty of blame to go around, but I don't wish anything bad to happen just to make a point. The most obvious thing to me is that, you know, that fire was almost 3 years ago and they've not really done anything in anticipation of something like this. Now, you know, just like the ice storm was a 100-year storm, I think the 30-plus inches of snow the end of March, you know, I think that's also an anomaly. But somebody was asleep at the switch somewhere, you know. Now they're talking about using eminent domain to try to take over that hydro. Well, that's a great discussion, but a little late.
Well, and what are you getting out of it? You know, last time I was inside that facility, it was evident to me that it had been neglected for quite a long time, all the way down to the last nut and bolt. So I would imagine that hydro plant is probably in pretty poor shape. There was also, and this is a matter of public record, there was also a situation there where the majority of the equipment inside of that plant was in hock at one point with a leak. Who knows even what's left there as far as control systems and all of that. So that would not be an asset that I would be interested in even looking at buying, but that's just me, uninformed opinion.
Well, and again, I mean, I'm not well-versed in what went on. I mean, I just know what you see and hear in the public media, and that's, you know, usually 50% wrong. I do know that after it closed the last time, that one of those leasing companies or, you know, factoring companies came in with a court order to take all that equipment back, and the majority of it was cleaned out. So whether that was control equipment for, you know, the hydro plant or whether it was control equipment for the production, the paper production side, you know, I don't have that answer. But yes, that was pretty common knowledge that belly up went belly up. There was also some controversy about, you know, what was included in the sale. And I think there may have been some conscious misstatement of fact about, you know, what was included in the sale and what was theirs to sell. Like, you know, there's definitely a a sizable and continuous amount of litigation going on after and in between the numerous sales.
Yeah, exactly my point. I mean, with all of that controversy and back and forth, who knows what you're actually getting out of it. So, you know, I think most people are going to stay away from that pretty far. So, anyway, hope it all can get worked out and that dam can get opened back up and alleviate the problem for people like you upstream and everywhere else. So we'll be hoping for a little respite in the weather and maybe some luck to the people that are trying to turn the wrenches.
Yeah, it will get resolved. You know, it's been a week or two. It'll be resolved. I have some fears as well. The basis of which they're not suitable for this medium, but hopefully they will not pan out. You know, hopefully that they're able to be mitigated, or the information I have is incorrect. You know, that would be catastrophic for the city of Sheboygan. I mean, it's not all of the landmass that would be affected. As a matter of fact, it's a very small section of landmass. But all the people, all the businesses and all the residences along the Sheboygan River upstream, you know, as a matter of fact, the whole chain all the way back to Crooked Lake, you know, if there was a catastrophic failure there and that dam went away or crumbled or whatever, that would be a definite long-term mitigation project. And then not to mention the immediate, you know, tsunami type of effect along the river from the lock side of the dam all the way down to the big lake. Now, that's not that big of an area, and it wouldn't spread that far outside of the banks of the river, several hundred feet to several hundred yards. But that's a lot of houses and a lot of businesses. You know, and you knew it was serious when the ferry, when the Boyce Blank ferry, paid the Coast Guard to break the ice so they could take the ferry out of there and go dock it at the island. That's when I started paying attention.
Oh, wow, I hadn't heard that. Yeah, that's pretty serious. But yeah, you know, in addition to all those things you mentioned, even like a longer term, if that were to come to pass, think about the commerce and the recreation that would be affected, like you said, all the way up to Crooked Lake, how much recreation goes on there and all the business that brings and tourism. I'm really hoping that the right resources are being applied to that situation to prevent it. K8, BCW.
WARPM. You know, if they get those other two gates open, that's almost an immediate fix. You know, within a day, the majority of the problems would be solved. But I don't know if that's possible or not, you know. If not, it's just going to take a longer time, depending on how cooperative the weather is, and what we're able to accomplish, how long it's going to take. But, that was a big deal for me when they moved that boat. It's like, uh-oh, somebody knows something. All right, what's new in Radio Land? Anything? I met a guy in a news group, 75-year-old guy, got his cut cold. Just, you know, long story short, he ended up finding a straight tee that his grandfather had that he forgot about. Going through the guy's stuff, he found it. This guy's 75 years old, lives in Ohio, central Ohio. And then he kind of got the bug, and he just started studying. It took him 2 weeks. He went and took his tech. 2 weeks later, he went and got his general. He thinks he could pass his extra right now. He's doing CW only on HF on 20 and 40 and having a blast doing it. Doesn't own a VHF or UHF radio. It's like, man, do you know what sort of anomaly you are, pal.
Oh, wow. Yeah, what a unicorn. That's a neat story. I'm sure that guy's having the time of his life, too. That's awesome. Yeah, I've been playing around with DMR a little bit. I got a buddy of mine hooked up and just has an extra capability around here. And I've been kind of schooling him up a little bit on what I know, which is enough to be dangerous. So, but yeah, other than that, I tried to get on the FEMA net yesterday. They have a check-in twice a month, I guess, on Sunday afternoons, and wasn't able to get on that reliably. They use a couple of HF frequencies and then D-Star and DMR, and it's for the Region 5, which is Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, I think, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. So, yeah, I'll try again next time, see if I can connect.
Did you ever get an all-star node? Do you have an all-star node working? And if not, why not?
Yeah, I built a hotspot for DMR, which, you know, that was easy enough. And then after you talked to me about all-star, I thought about doing that and started poking around a little bit, but I'm having a hard time finding the right resources on how to build it. A lot of the YouTube videos I'm seeing are like specific to the UK or Australia, and I just got tired of poking around on it, so I just kind of put it on the back burner. But yeah, I would be interested in knowing more about it and how to build one, and it sounds like you might have that knowledge, so if you're willing to share some of that with me, I might get a little bit more interested in it.
Do you have a Pi? Do you have access to any version of a Raspberry Pi?
Well, I bought a Pi 3 Bravo for my hotspot that I built with an MMDVM hat for DMR and D-Star. But I wouldn't be opposed to buying another one to build an All-Star node. I just don't know what else I need.
Basically, you need a radio to dedicate, whether it's an HT or what. And you need a Pi and a sound card dump. That's about it. Now, hold on a second now. I'm going to talk to a neighbor here. Be right back.
K-8-B-A-W-3-W. Be double. Try again. K-8-W-3-W.
Hey there, Brad. Sorry, Ron and I have been sucking up all the airwaves here.
Oh, I heard. That's why I chimed in here. If you're interested in building buying a put-together one, All-Star node, check out the, I got my node from allscan.info. If you want to Google them, they got nodes. You can build them yourself, or you build and test them for you. So you even put your information into it for you. Yeah, give him a check out. That's what the repeater is running off here. So I haven't had any issues with it whatsoever. If you want to give them a try.
Yeah, thanks for that. Give me that website name again.
Allscan.info.
Okay, great. Thanks. I'll check it out.
Yeah, so, yeah, he has different, quite a few different ones there, so sounds like he builds them for fun. He sells them. So, yeah, give him a look, and then I'm going to make sure I got the website correct. It's been a while since I've been on it. Yeah, it looks like it's all scan.info. Yep. It pulls up all the stuff for you, and you can pick and choose what one you're looking for. Builds them, even has the radios that you integrates with the stuff. And yeah, give them a check it out.
Okay, cool. Will do. Thanks again for that.
All right, I got to jump back out of here. I got to get ready for it. Back on night shift. Not really looking forward to it. But anyways, 7-3 guys, KE8 or KW.
Yeah, thanks, Brad. Have a good good evening. K8BCW standing by.
All right, that way, I'm sorry you're still listening. W-A-R-D-M. K-B-C-W from W-8-R-P-M.
Bryant Park in Traverse City. No traffic, and boy, it's aesthetic. It's pretty high tonight, Glenn.
You're coming in perfect, but if you have a little weak signal, you're struggling. But right now, you're doing great. Let's go to Kevin, KF8AGY. Kevin, your location and your message to pass.
This is Kevin, KF8AGY. We're here on Spider Lake. No traffic. Back to you, net control.
Let's go to Bob, KB8SVJ. Bob, your location and messages to pass.
This is KB8SVJ. I am located in Metro City, Benzie County, and I have no traffic.
Tony, KE8SBZ. Tony, your location and messages to pass.
Tony, KE8SBZ, location Rennie Lake. I would, message would be to keep an eye on the weather tonight. We might have some thunderstorms rolling through. I don't know if it's going to be severe or not, but looks like a lot of stuff coming in from Minnesota and Wisconsin heading this way. And with that, back to net. KE8SBZ.
Tony, excellent. That goes with our message for tonight. Let's go to Dave, K8WPE. Dave, your location and messages to pass.
This is Dave, K8WPE, back in Traverse City. We are on the west side of Silver Lake, and I do not have any messages tonight.
Glad to have you back. Joe, NHCM, your location and messages to pass.
As Joe, NACN. I'm near the intersection of Barlow and South Airport here. Enjoying a beautiful night in Traverse City. That is the only message I wish to pass. Have a great evening.
I'll wait 5 minutes. It's Michigan. Christopher, KFA to DMK. Christopher, your location and messages to pass.
This is Christopher, KFA to DMK. I'm located 3.5 miles south of Buckley. No traffic. Back to you, net control.
Kevin, KD9WW. Kevin, your location and messages to pass.
This is Kevin, KD9WW.
located in northwest Indiana. We recorded 3.2 inches of north end of Torch Lake yesterday. No message to the past.
Anybody else want to check in?
Whiskey Victor Papa Charlie.
Mike, WABPC, Mike, your location, any messages to pass?
Location is Royal Oak, no traffic.
Under the heading of weird weather, we do have some weather coming next few days. There are places like Sheboygan that do not need any more rain, maybe a dam that may be overrun. Here at my place, I got 2.7 inches of rain, and more is on the way. We're going to be passing some digital traffic. This is, again, from the NOAA Gaylord with a warning of weather coming our way. Stand by for traffic. KTTC, digital traffic is as follows. This is KGTC, end of traffic. If you receive this message, please check in.
KF8AGY, full copy.
ACN, 100% copy.
KB8SDJ, KB8SDJ, negative copy.
Full copy, K8WPE.
KF8DMK, full copy. KE8SBZ, negative copy, garble and a wrap.
Well, I wonder how much interference is influencing this. We're still working on that. All right, everybody, thank you for joining in. Let's be careful with the weather out the next few days. I looked at the radar. I think most of that severe weather is going to be heading into the UP and north of us, but then all that rain is coming for the next few days. Stay tuned to this repeater because your weather observations will be very helpful to the Gaylord NOAA system. All right, that's it for me. I'm going to turn the note over to the Cherry Lane Amateur Radio Club. This is KGTC. Take it away, Cherry Lane.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Monday Evening Social Hour Net. Before we get started, I have a few announcements. First, I'd like to announce on behalf of the Cherry Lane Amateur Radio Club and anybody who listened to the Artemis coverage last week, thank you to Drake NADMH for patching NASA into the NADMH repeater. We were able to follow it all the way to splashdown, and it was fun. For my next announcement, Breakfast with Hams every Tuesday morning at J&S Hamburg on South Airport Road is tomorrow morning, just west of Garfield. All are welcome, and this is a great time to casually connect with your radio buddies. And tomorrow night at the New Approaches Center, 5123 North Royal Drive in Traverse City, is going to be project night. And I'm not sure what we have on the docket for tomorrow, but I seem to think there was something about Intro to CW. So that's what's happening tomorrow night at the club. This is KF8EGY. My name is Kevin. I will be your net control station this evening using the club call sign WATCM. Break.
The
purpose of the Monday Evening Social Hour Net is to connect and build our ham community, to communicate information of interest to ham and to radio enthusiasts in our area. The mesh net and the use of this WATCM repeater is authorized by the Cherryland Amateur Radio Club and the Greater Traverse City, Michigan area, including Northern Michigan, sponsored club activities. Welcome to those using other repeaters who are linked in tonight. All licensed amateurs are welcome to check into the mesh net. All newly licensed hams are invited and encouraged to check in. Great. We check in three groups. First, time-constrained short-time stations. Second, echo link. And third, general check-ins. We check in one person at a time. I will call for a check-in. You send me your call sign and first name. I will acknowledge the station I heard, then I'll call for the next check-in. This helps us manage doubles and makes check-in a more efficient process. Thank you for your patience. And tonight's topic, I'm going to just ask a simple question. Were you able to watch the Artemis reentry coverage and the splashdown, and what did you think? This is WATCM, Net Control, for Monday Evening Social Hour. We'll begin check-ins tonight by calling for short-time, time-constrained stations. And because you are time or energy-constrained, I'll take your comments right after this group checks in. First, short-time check-in. Please call now. Okay, Tom, we got you a little scratchy, but I was able to fully copy your message. Next short time check-in, please. No further short time check-ins heard. Let's go with you, Tom. WB8, WIV. And then we'll move on to EchoLink check-ins. Go ahead, Tom.
Okay, Kevin, and thanks for taking it up tonight. Hopefully that's better. I'm
bumped
up to 35 watts.
That
should give you more of a
feeling.
Is that any better, Kevin?
It's a little bit better, but if you got more power, go ahead for it.
Okay, that was 50 watts. Is that any better?
Yeah, we'll work with that. You're still fully copying. It's just a little noisy coming through. I don't know if that's the repeater or it's you, but go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, okay, Roger. Good evening, everybody. Thanks for letting me in short time. I'll be going to bed shortly here. I got to work tomorrow. Anyway, yes, I did see the Artemis flash down. I saw it on CBS News. Yoga today, gave off took an hour and a half nap,
walked the dog, and then went to a chiropractor. Natalie also worked on the down limbs in my backyard. I got it about half done now. I still got about half of the yard to do, but most of it's now pretty well cleaned up. The most crucial part. Anyway, everybody have a good day. Of course, I was retired today, Kevin. Everybody have a great evening. We'll get you guys next Monday if everything works right. That's the next control, WACCM, WDHWY, and I'll be clear. Good evening.
All right, Tom, very good. I was not a senior in high school when Neil Armstrong set foot on the moon, but I do remember as a kid, I think I was 11 years old, sitting up late. All right, Neil, we got you in and out. Any more short calls?
Name is Mike.
Mike, I didn't get your call sign. Can you go ahead and repeat that, please?
Yeah, this is Whiskey 8 Victor Papa Charlie.
Whiskey 8 Victor Papa Charlie, gotcha. Mike, go ahead and give me a second. And do we have any more check-ins on short time? If we don't, I'll go ahead with Mike. Any more short time check-ins?
KVNA John.
John, I got you. Any other short time? Okay, none heard. Let's go to Whiskey 8 Victor Papa Charlie. Mike, go ahead with your transmission. Go ahead with your transmission, and John KVNA, please stand by.
Okay, my control, WAVPC. Yes, I did watch the Artemis land Friday. I was a little concerned about seeing that it looked kind of melted. I think things got a little toasty inside. And as far as the Apollo astronauts landing on the moon, or stepping on the moon, I was 9, and that was the only time that my dad let us bring the TV set on vacation. We were in Lake City, black and white, and we watched him put his foot in the sand and say, you know, his famous words. So I remember that. So back to net, WAV.
Okay, Mike, thanks for your transmission. It was, I don't know if it was melted. I know there was a spot on the heat shield they were talking about, but they've dismissed that. Apparently Artemis 1 used a skip entry to kind of dissipate some of the heat. And for those of you who don't know what a skip entry is, they actually skip off the atmosphere and then come back in again. At a slightly different angle, and I guess that's supposed to shed some of the heat on that heat shield. This time they opted against that for whatever reasons they had, and they came in good, and as expected. Okay, K8VNA, John, go ahead with your transmission.
Hey, Kevin, and everybody. Hello, this is John, K8VNA. Thanks for letting me do the short time. I'm going to be listening the whole time, but I'm not sure if I can come back to the radio. I'm kind of busy with my family a little bit, my daughter, homework and stuff. But, space shuttle landing, that was awesome. What do you call it, the Artemis? That was fun to watch. I didn't watch it live. I did watch the recording of it, but I tell you what, the rocket launches really got my attention since I was 16 years old. And I'll never forget when the Challenger exploded. It got my attention with the whole space program. And I'll never forget my classmate. I forgot his name, though. But I'll never forget his I got to look him up, actually. He cried like a baby when that space shuttle exploded. And I didn't really get it back then. I didn't understand really what was going on. And then when I got older, I realized how catastrophic that really was. But Anyways, yeah, since 16 years old, I've been watching rockets launch. It's a lot of fun. But, Kevin, thanks for the net. Appreciate you guys letting me make sure my radios work. I did learn that my Yaesu is not working, so I got to get that working again. I'm going to try and shoot. I'm going to shoot for the club tomorrow night. I'm going to go see if I can track down Doc Dave there, K-A-W-P-E, and see if I can bring him to the club tomorrow and say hi to everybody for the first time in about 6 months. I don't know how long it's been. But, anyways, back to you, Net Control, and I'll be listening off and on, hopefully the whole time. K-A-V-N-A, back to you.
K-A-V-N-A, yeah, I do remember the Challenger disaster. I was a consultant at Ford Motor at the time, and we had gone to lunch. We're walking through the tunnels underneath the Ford campus, and somebody had mentioned that the Challenger had just exploded shortly after liftoff. I couldn't believe it, and that was that. Seeing that image and that reel was burned into my mind for the rest of my life at that point. I think we saw it on probably every television, every monitor, everything that could display something. It was a horrible disaster, and it's interesting to see how far we've come with telemetry and rocket capability and communication capability especially. Boy, the comms were clean on that. Okay, at this time I'm going to take standby for stations, checking in using EchoLink. We may expect a delay of a few seconds because EchoLink travels over the Internet, and so I will give a few seconds for EchoLink responses, and let's go with the first EchoLink All-Star check-in. Go ahead with your call, please. Okay, let's try one more time. Any EchoLink or All-Star check-ins, please call now. Okay, none heard at this time. We'll go to general check-ins. This is W8TCM, Net Control, and I'll now stand by for general check-ins. Newly licensed hams, this is your chance as well. First general check-in, please call W8TCM now.
This is K8WPE.
M8JXQ.
AE8ZOY, Amity.
Slow down, guys. I got Dave, K8WP, Brad, NAJXQ. Let me change that to an X there. Amity, K-E-8-Z-O-Y, next general check-in.
K-8-W-F-U-K, Pete.
Pete, I've got you, K-8-W-K, next general check-in, please.
Kilo, Delta 8 November Hotel, Nicholas.
Nicholas, I've got you, next general check-in.
K-A-H-Y-E, Edgar.
Okay, Edgar, I've got you. Next general check-in, please.
November 8th, Papa November Kilo, Mike.
Mike, I got you. Next general check-in.
Tony.
Okay, Tony, I've got you. A little noisy, but that may have just been a temporary thing. Next general check-in, please.
Kilo Delta 9, Whiskey, Whiskey Uniform 7.
NACN.
Okay, Kevin, I've got you. Joe, I've got you. Do we have any more general check-ins? Okay, let's go to the top of the list. K8WPE, Dave, go ahead with your transmission, and Brad, stand by.
Well, good evening, Kevin, W8TCM. This is Dave, K8WPE, and we are back from the Southland. You can only enjoy the good life so long, and you get homesick.
least that's my excuse. My wife was just really enjoying it, and the weather was getting better, but duty calls, and we had to come back and work on the yard and get everything ready. We had 6 inches of rain the other night. The airport said, I think, 2.3 inches, but it was raining pretty heavy when I got up, and I went out and put my rain gauge out in the yard, and before the day was over, we had slightly less than 5 inches. So I know with what came down before I was recording, we had a good 6 inches, and Silver Lake is up to the normal level that we usually see in the spring, and it hasn't been that high in 3 or 4 years. So anyway, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. W8DCM, K8WPE.
Okay, Dave, well, welcome back from the Southland. Sorry you had to come up to the rainy season, the monsoon season here up in Traverse City. Looks like we're going to be having some rain coming up for the next few days. We did have some torrential downpours yesterday. 6 inches is a lot, but hopefully you'll be able to put your entire dock in this year, although you might be a little gun-shy after last year having to take a section out and or put an extra section back in, sorry about that, and be able to get your boat in the water and where it needs to be. Brad, NHJSQ, go ahead with your transmission in Amity. Stand by.
Thanks, Tony, and to everybody, and good evening to everybody on the net tonight. Hey, I've got an important announcement here, so I hope everybody will pay close attention. I am looking for mentors to help youth assemble the flashlights and FM radio kits at the upcoming Makers Fest. This will be held on April 25th in Traverse City at the Civic Center from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. But certainly if you can come for an hour or two, that helps. You don't have to be there for the entire day. If you are a ham and listening to this call right now, you are more than qualified to come out and help. So we will be having some training, however. That'll be on the evening of April 21st at our club meeting. And I'm going to take a break. So, yes, I'm back. So it will be at our training at April 21 club meeting, and basically we'll break out a kit and we'll learn how to assemble them so we know where the problems are when we have our meet with the kids on April 25. Speaking of kids, by all means, if you have your own kids or if you have grandkids, please bring them out. It'll be a great activity. It's absolutely free. This activity is being funded by the ARRL. So that's it, Tony. I'm going to turn it back to you. This is NAKXQ. Oh, and one more thing. If I'll be listening tonight. If you can attend, if you can help out as a mentor, please note when you check in. So I'll be listening this evening. Back to you, Tony. This is NAKXQ.
Okay, Brad. Looks like you got a little bit of identity crisis going on. This is Kevin running the network tonight. KF8ADY, running as the net control station for WATCM. Thanks for your announcement, and sounds like you got some stuff coming up pretty quick. Anybody that can help out Brad, please go ahead and get signed up for that. And this is a great opportunity for some public-facing activity for the Cherryland Amateur Radio Club. It's funded by the ARRL, and it is a Maker Fest, which means it's going to possibly attract a lot of STEM students and people that are interested in the same kind of fun stuff we are. Thank you, Brad. Okay, this is Amity, K-A-Z-O-Y, go ahead, N-T, K-A-W-Q-K. Please stand by.
Amity, K-E-H-Z-O-Y. Kevin, I'm glad you told us that it was you on there because you do sound exactly like Tony on the radio. With all this rain and melting snow, I was looking to know whether this morning we're talking about the flooding in Box Common, Emmett County,
And Manatee, and I went down for the first time because the snow's off the step down to our lake, and Rick has gone up for about a foot. There's nothing, the ice has one end, it's still not there's a lot of water getting in the ground.
Hey, Amity, you came in with a lot of QRM coming in, but we were able to make all that out. Sounds like you still got some ice and snow that needs to be melted. It's been a crazy winter, but I think winter has finally let go. I don't know about the lakes over by you, but Spider Lake pretty much broke up all its ice last Thursday, I believe it was. And once that happened and the wind was blowing, it certainly didn't take long. Pretty much the whole lake ice disappeared in a day and a half. Okay, KWTK, go ahead with your transmission. And Nicholas, please stand by.
Okay, good evening and thank you. Welcome back to Brad. Excuse me, welcome back to Dave. Good to see you, and I'm trusting we'll see you at breakfast in the morning. Brad, I've got MakerFest on my calendar, and the Lord willing and all that. Why, I will be there to assist. I might even show up at the club meeting that prior Tuesday. We'll see how the schedule works, but I'm kind of got the time blocked off, so I'll be there. Yeah, we had a bit of water. I don't know quite what we had, but I'm guesstimating 3 inches from the size of my lake in the backyard, or at least the lake that formed yesterday. It's all gone already, but so I can put the kayak and the life jacket away again. But we're in for another round here. Where was I? Let's see. I remember, yes, the original moon landing. Well, the only moon landing, yeah. But 69, that was the summer I graduated from high school. I'll take a break. And I'm pretty sure that was a Sunday evening. And, of course, we were glued to our TV sets. Pretty serious business and pretty proud time to be an American and all that good stuff. So, yep, that's just one of those things in history that just about everybody remembers where they were when that event happened. All right, look forward to seeing some of you tomorrow morning at WQK.
Well, thank you for that rain report, Pete, from up there in Elk Rapids. Sounds like you were all ready to float right on over to Elk Lake from your backyard at that point. But, yeah, you can put that kayak away or at least save it for a better lake and a better time. We had some flood warnings show up here today. I have not been anywhere near the Boardman yet, but considering all the rain that fell yesterday, I would not be surprised if it's above flood state. Okay, Nicholas, KD8NH. Nicholas, go ahead with your transmission, and Edgar, please stand by.
Yes, this is Kilo, Delta 8 November Hotel. Nicholas on this side of the mic. I'm doing very well this evening. Let's see here. Michigan QSO party is this weekend, so I'm going to be setting up mobile and doing some camping. I hope to set up on Greenpoint Bluff. Maybe I'll do some flying too, but that'll be more on like Sunday or Monday with the weather and such. We'll see what the weather's like for that, but that's another subject. Really looking forward to some portable HF setup, though. This will be fun, give me a chance to maybe test out what I would use on a POTA activity, but also be operating when a bunch of other people are going to be out on the band, so I'll be able to, you know, have some fun with that. Let's see here. That's what I got going on. I hope everybody's having a good evening. Hope all the rest of you hams that are getting up for breakfast in the morning have a good breakfast also. I'll wish everybody 7-3, and I will turn it back to you at Net Control. Kilo Delta 8 November Hotel.
Okay, Nicholas, thank you for that reminder on the Michigan QSO party. I will probably be operating from the home QTH on digital modes. It's just everything kind of snuck up all at once. And April's in full swing, and it's getting warmer, and I think people are going to want to get out and start doing stuff. I certainly want to make it my year for doing some portable operations now that I have my station set up, and it is truly portable, but I also operate it as my base station here at home. Okay, Edgar, K-A-8-H-Y-E, Edgar, go ahead with your transmission, and Mike, N-A-P-N-K, go ahead and stand by.
Hi, good evening from the next city ATCM. This is K-A-8-H-Y-E. Are we listening to the Artemis? Listened on the radio and watched on a cable channel. And the radio is considerably ahead of the cable channel, so we got to hear the explanation of the communications before the cable channel put it on. So it's kind of interesting. And the moon landing is a year between my graduation and college, and we were at a fishing camp up in the Manasquan Bay, and I watched a little portable 9-inch television. So it was, like everybody says, it's something we remember. This is K-A-8-Y-E.
Hey there, Edgar. Yeah, I know what you mean when you're talking about communication delay. There are so many YouTube channels out there right now that claim to be NASA-related, and a lot of them aren't. But they were getting delayed feeds. I was tracking what was happening from Mission Control in real time, and then I was also getting minute-by-minute updates from my AI. My AI is telling me where they're at, and I'm looking at the screen, and it's not agreeing, and it's not agreeing with the radio, so finally I just shut down the audio on the screen, found a new YouTube channel, and was able to follow it in real time. But I'll tell you, between 1969 and today, the imaging capability is phenomenal. Hearing them talk about dealing with plugging in USB connections and streaming downlink or streaming uplink, it was something else. But I also feel like a kid here now because I'm hearing all you guys graduated from high school right around 1969, and I was still sitting in my living room as an 11-year-old. So been following the space program ever since, and watching the Artemis finally come through the atmosphere, pop those three chutes, and then I don't know if anybody noticed, but they were using reaction control thrusters to steer where they were going to land, and I think they said they pretty much had a bullseye landing at where they expected. So we've come a long way in all this time. I think it's almost 50 years now. Mike, go ahead with your transmission, and Tony, will you stand by?
Yeah, hey there, good evening. As far as it goes with Artemis, I did pay a bit of attention to it there. Definitely super cool to see us going back to the moon, and they've got a pretty cool project planned with the whole Artemis program. So it sounds like it's going to be a pretty awesome thing for America, back to the moon, back in space. Pretty excited about it. I wasn't alive when we went to the moon the first time, but definitely alive during the space shuttle, that kind of deal there. That was all pretty cool, and it was pretty interesting to see a lot of it. It was kind of sad to watch them discontinue the shuttles, but, beyond that, they weren't super safe, so definitely understandable. I've been doing a lot of POTA stuff, been trying to do hunting while mobile, so getting my rig all ready, getting ready to do my first activation here. Got everything kind of all set up, got everything tested in. It's definitely interesting to do mobile setups, and looking forward to it, but I'll send it back to you here in 7:30 for now.
Oh, Mike, I finally found someone on the net who is younger than me. You weren't alive in 1969, so I guess that makes you the next torchbearer when my generation passes the torch. Yeah, it was, I can tell that people talking about POTA and getting out and doing some remote operating. That's definitely a sign of spring coming up, and it's definitely a sign of people being done with being locked in the house all winter and wanting to get out and do stuff. So, good to hear. Okay, Tony, KE8FBZ, go ahead with your transmission, and Kevin, 89WWU, please stand by.
Oh my gosh, here we go. This is KE8FBZ, Tony, your local astronaut. I've been listening to crackling on the radio here. It sounds like some of those first missions to the moon, for sure. And I just found the advanced noise reduction on my VHF radio here, and it's working really great. So fun to be on the net tonight. And fun question there, Kevin. I have a comment for Pete. I must be older than Pete, because actually we had 6 moon landings. And we had a dozen people, a dozen astronauts that walked on the moon between 1969 and 1972. But we always remember the first one. It's sort of like remembering Chuck Yeager was the first one to break the sound barrier, and you don't remember anybody else. So with that, let me break a second. Okay, we could talk about that for a while, but let's go to Artemis. We'll learn a lot of things on Artemis. It'll be interesting to see what they come up with. One thing was that they tried to redesign that heat shield a little bit, and they made it less porous, and actually it's a self-sacrificing shield to protect them against that 5,000 degrees coming back into the atmosphere. And I don't know why the thing held up, but that's going to be interesting. But there's some other problems coming up, and one thing is when they started noticing that there are impact flashes, they were noticing all kinds of impact flashes on the moon, and if you think about it, I don't think the moon's going to be, we don't have the technology, we don't have everything figured out to sustain any time up there. We've got, first of all, we got all the radiation problems that they've got between the Van Allen belt and solar radiation and galactic rays and what have you. But then those rocks that keep hitting the moon, those space suits aren't made to withstand that. And so they're going to have to figure something out if they're going to go up there and stay very long, because sounds dangerous. I'm going to pass it back to Mission Control. That's KU at SBZ.
Yeah, boy, Tony, you've sure raised a lot of concerns that I had while watching the mission, especially when I saw the impact flashes. You don't really see that on the side of the moon facing the Earth, but when you're on the dark side and you've got pretty much no light, that kind of stuff definitely stands out. And apparently there was enough of them in a short enough time that would warrant concern for any kind of permanent setup out there, because when those things are coming in, if you saw those, they hit the moon. They hit it with such a velocity that it vaporizes what they're impacting into and creates a small crater. So if that gives you any idea of what kind of energy those things supply, that's gonna be a challenge they have to figure out. On the heat shield, I think the Apollo missions they learned with ablative heat shields are ones that self-sacrifice. And that seems like a real gamble, because I know the Apollo 1 started out something like 6 inches or 8 inches thick, and by the time they came through the atmosphere, there was about 2 inches left. And, that's when you really want to know that your engineers have all their calculations done, their decimal points, and their I's dotted and T's crossed. And, Tony, I think you got a better face for radio than I do. I certainly don't have the accent you do, so I'm not sure where a couple of people mistake us for the same person, but keep up whatever it is you're doing, Tony. Okay, Kevin, KD9WWU, go ahead with your transmission, and Joe, NHCN, stand by.
Hey, thanks, Kevin, W8TCM. This is Kevin Keel, Delta 9, Whiskey, Uniform. You talked about the space program. I remember back in 68, 69, staying up all night long, watching that moon landing and everything. And then it was quite a spectacle watching on television and stuff like that. The whole families gathered around me. The single TV set each family had was quite an experience, but it was awesome. We had brought it up. You know, we're getting ready to move up north, and we're going through paperwork and stuff. I came across all my news articles, all the news headlines from back in 1969 with the moon landing and everything. So I was telling my wife, I need to physically preserve those headlines because they are a piece of history. So anyways, we're trying to make plans to be up there in a couple more weeks again, one more load. And after that will be the final move. So looking forward to getting up there. And I just cannot believe all the rain you guys have had up there. So I know that the Bel Air and Central Lake area, they've had tremendous amount of rain. And my little weather station has had over 3 inches, so it's quite a bit. So anyways, back to you. This is Kevin, Kilo Delta 9. Uniform. Back to you.
Yeah, Kevin, thanks for that report. I can definitely empathize with you having to basically re-homestead your entire life. I did that about 10 years ago, a little over 10 years ago, and I don't wish to go back and do it again, but I do remember those trips back and forth between Troy, Michigan and Traverse City. It's about 4 hours and 250 miles one way. And there was a time near the end where I was probably running 5 or 6 of those round trips a week and racking up mileage on my leased truck, so, which I ended up eventually giving to my son, or selling to my son, because he needed a reliable vehicle. And I had a 3-year lease with only 17,000 miles on it. It was a Toyota Sonoma pickup. No, not Sonoma. Toyota Tacoma pickup. Too many Omas out there. But, you know, it sounds like a lot of us in ham radio were also interested in the space program. And I think the two, I'm going to conclude from that anecdotal evidence that there must be enough of us that are interested in both and have followed the space program for a while. Okay, Joe will take your comments, Joe, NHCN, and then I'll go back and make a last run for any more general check-ins. Joe, go ahead.
Hey, good evening, everyone on the net. Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about the space program, and it's really cool to have that. I guess that's better. Yeah, I listened to the shuttle for a while, and enjoyer of everything NASA for many years, and it taught me a lot about humanity at a young age. I was almost 10 years old, and we had started lunch at school when they rolled in the TV cart and we were watching the Challenger. And that happened. And nobody really said anything. They just kind of rolled the cart back into the closet and everybody continued eating lunch. And, you know, as a race, we got better technologically.
It was a tragedy, and we learned from it, and we moved on. In explorative and technical ways, but I don't ever think we're going to escape our human instincts, because I think it solidified in me as a Gen Xer, that whole ability to compartmentalize things and move on in life. It's one of the reasons I can listen to the news and find out that we needed oil, so we threatened genocide and grew up a school full of kids that were brown, and everybody just rolled the cart back into the closet and walked away like it didn't happen and went on with life. So, guess I learned a lot from that early experience. And thanks again. Everyone have a good night.
Yeah, Joe, I can definitely sympathize with compartmentalizing things like that. Unfortunately, we live in a transactive world nowadays, and these opinions I'm giving are not a reflection of the Terryland Amateur Radio Club. They are indeed my own. But, yeah, I think we are going to remember the things that happened in our recent history for a very long time, and we can only hope that social justice will be served. Joe, it's good to hear from you. You definitely, when you bumped, I think you bumped up your power, your audio game, but you definitely cut through. Okay, I'm going to take a short break for a second. And I'm going to make a call for any additional general check-ins at this point. Any general check-ins, please call now.
Hey, can you hear me?
This is Chris Burr, KF8, DMZ.
Drake, can you hear me?
Okay, Christopher, I got you. You're holding the repeater, but you're a little noisy, and we can definitely make out what you're saying. So, Christopher, go ahead with your transmission, and Drake, stand by.
This is Christopher, KF8, DMZ. I don't have a lot to add. I've never really kept up on NASA stuff, but I thought I was doing one little tidbit here. Nehemiah, my 6-year-old, is my little history buff. And as soon as Nicholas checked in, he informed us all that reminded him of Nicholas the Second of Russia, who was a leader in World War II. World War I, sorry, he just corrected me. He was wondering if Nicholas knew about that, so I got into his honor, put on the air, and put that out there. Oh, yes, and he's also making a story. All right.
Well, Christopher, it sounds like Nehemiah is definitely into history, and it's always a good thing. You know, we learn from our historical past, hopefully, and we try not to make the same mistakes going forward, but who knows? It's good that your son is interested in history, and he can go back and recall some of those things, so that's very cool. Drake, NATMH. Drake, I'd like to thank you once again for patching us into NASA last week, Mission Control, and Drake, go ahead with your transmission.
Drake, NATMH. Man, Joe was... He's my neighbor, but man, he had the sad story. I literally just walked in the door, and I have a cat that's meowing. Do you have any words for everybody? So. Oh, the Artemis thing was fun to listen to. I didn't really I didn't, like, go online and watch it or anything. I just listened to it, and that was kind of fun enough for me, and it was kind of neat. And,
Glad to have patched that in for everybody. I thought it was kind of interesting, you know. I was thinking, originally, I was like, well, maybe I can nab the signals whenever we're facing them, and then I quickly discovered they're on like 2.2 or 2.3 gig, and I was like, oh, I don't have anything that'll do that. So, maybe next time, because satellites are fun, I want to try that. Kevin, back to you. I need damage.
Well, Drake, you're a busy guy, I know that, and especially since you're just coming in the door at 9 o'clock. I'm sure your cat is happy to see you after being gone all day, and make sure you pay attention to him or her so that they feel loved, and they'll love you right back. Yeah, it was great having that patched in, and yeah, it was... I know we lost it there for a little bit, but I wasn't sure if something was going on the repeater as I was trying to identify patterns of interference last weekend. And thank you for identifying your on-the-hour digital transmissions that appeared as noise, and that when we had the correct PL tone in the radio instead of listening simplex, that noise just went away. I'm wondering how much of that might be related to the interference we're hearing on the 8-6 repeater when it happens, because... to my ears, they pretty much sounded very much the same. So I don't know if we've got another digital transmission in the area that is going off and impacting our signal capability. But anyway, Drake, thanks for that. Go take care of your kitty. Have a nice evening, and we'll talk to you soon. At this point, we've reached the bottom of our list. This is WACCM, and if we don't have any additional check-ins, I'll take one more shot. If you've not checked into the Monday Evening Social Hour Net, wish to do so. This is the last call.
Kevin, this is Amity at KEHGLY. If nobody checks in, I've got a question for the group about the re-entry of the spacecraft last week that I'd like to ask.
Yeah, go ahead, Amity.
The test flight that they did a while back on unmanned spaceship, when it came in at a different angle than the one last week. The one that last week, they came in at a more direct angle, which made it hotter but faster. It only took 6 minutes instead of 8 minutes because they were getting charring on the side of the aircraft. And when they were saying it was coming in, it was coming hotter, and because of that, it was causing the air, the heat, causing air to turn into plasma. And that's what I don't understand, if anybody can explain what it means by turning air into plasma.
All right, Amity, I can definitely comment on that. For the Artemis 1 mission, as I understand it, they had an experiment, and they were basically trying a skip reentry, which basically means they came in at a shallower angle, intentionally skipping off the atmosphere, taking another bounce back into space before then coming in at their entry angle. Now, as I understand it, when you're coming back from the moon on a free return trajectory, meaning an unpowered trajectory, you're basically moving out of the moon's influence and then coming back into the Earth's influence. And at that point, the Earth does have a gravitational pull. It's starting to accelerate the craft, and they can generally get increasing speed as they get closer to the Earth, without having to do any additional rocket burns. Now, what they will do is they'll do additional burns to align with the reentry corridor, which is very narrow. And this time, they didn't want to take a chance with the skip. I don't know if that caused more burning of the heat shield than they expected. So they came in a more direct angle, which is an entry angle. And when you're starting to come through the atmosphere at 23,000 or 24,000 miles per hour, there's a whole lot of strange physics at work. The heat is intense, I guess they can reach up to 5,000 degrees, but you got to remember they're coming through the atmosphere, so the air around them, heated by that 5,000 degrees, causes a plasma to surround the craft, and that causes a radio blackout. They can't get any communication through it. So that's what I know about that plasma heating. It happens on every mission that requires reentry, and NASA has become experts at that pretty much over the years. So.
And Kevin, what is plasma?
I believe plasma is ionized gases from the atmosphere, and it actually it's got some capability that blocks radio signals, and so that's why they go into a communication blackout. That's what makes the reentry so anxious, is because for at least in this mission, for approximately 6 to 7 minutes, they can't talk back to Earth. They can't send any telemetry back. So they're flying in the dark, and NASA's pretty much waiting for a contact. After that 6 or 7 minutes, they start calling the capsule to see if there's a response back. And if that response is too delayed, they start to get really nervous. But we need the plasma field to settle down. As they come into the atmosphere, they're slowing down from about 23,000 miles per hour, 24,000 miles per hour, and by the time they hit the ocean, they're only going about 20 miles per hour. So that should give you an idea of actually what happens when they re-enter the Earth's atmosphere.
I've been following her for years. Yeah, I was in front of the TV for Apollo 11.
Anyway, hope that helped. There being no further check-ins before we close the MeshNet, does anyone have any further questions, inquiries, or comments? Drake?
Comment.
Okay, hearing none, this will conclude the Monday Evening Social Hour Net for tonight. This net will meet again next Monday here on this repeater, immediately following the 8 o'clock p.m. T-Barge Net. This is Kevin, KF8AGY. Operating this evening is net control under the club call WATCM. I will now close the net and return this repeater to general amateur use. Thank you, everyone, for your participation and comments, and good evening to all. This is WATCM, clear.
WEPC.
KCBSU on 86. KCBSU on Norm Michigan Link. Anybody available for Skywalk?
Yep, we already got everything linked up.
Okay, Drake, I was getting set up here in case I had to. I didn't know if we had everything linked up, thanks.
Yeah, there's just, well, I guess everybody that's monitoring, there's a severe thunderstorm watch for, crap, hold on, I got to bring up the list. Benji, Crawford, Gladwin, Grand Traverse, Kalkaska, Manistee, Misaki, Ogama, Roscommon, and Aranac, and Wexford counties. until 5 a.m. Tuesday, just for general advisement. And 8 new H.
Well, that was a good way to get me out of a good sleep. Ha ha ha.
Stand by. Hey, D-Mate.
Hey, Frank, I think I fixed my APRS on the radio finally.
I think I saw that. I'm trying to get all my stuff loaded up here. We're not doing a net. I haven't heard from Vandermeer, but I'm just kind of standing by, and if anybody's got anything, I'm going to forward it on.
Yeah, I know. I'm checking some things out here, too, on the three things. I've got two things for my area and two for Rapid City here, so... Yeah, I know we got the marine warning. That's what woke me up. I've got lightning here, but I haven't had rain yet, but it's coming. It looked like on radar.
Yeah, I'm actually seeing the lightning on my S meter right now on VHF.
I don't have to worry about it. Just look outside and scan the... Kind of like, oh, what's that?
Yeah.
So how was your day at work today?
Yeah, it was uneventful, but just a long day. Sat there for quite a while watching our subcontractor trying to figure stuff out.
Gotcha, gotcha, yeah. No, we had... stopped our council office and the supervisors and walked in around there and go, how's it going? He says, not good. The township basement got like 6 inches of water in the bottom because of where it sits, and it was coming in through a door. So we took over. We went over and grabbed the portable pump off our one truck, and we didn't even make the headway on that thing. I mean, we had it hooked up, and we had like 7 lengths of hole going into our soccer field.
You were getting pretty rough there. You may want to switch over to 2.6.
Oh, I'm on 8.6.
That's what I'm saying. You were better on 2.6 earlier.
Okay, I'll switch over. KCPSU on 2.6.
Yay, the crackle's done.
Yeah. No, I stopped, like I said, at our township office, and the supervisor's outside, so I said, morning, how's it going? He says, not good. The basement, our basement got flooded at the township office, so three of us got together and we took over our one truck with the portable pump. I took over like, 6 lengths of 2.5 hose, plus the truck had to lay out 7 lengths of hose, and where it was sitting outside the garage door area, we couldn't even make a dent because what's wrong is there's a plugged up culvert pipe underneath the road, and I think that need some attention.
Oof, yeah, that's not exactly fun. Oh, come on. Trying to get radar scope loaded up. There we go. Oh, man, that's a pretty nasty radar image.
Thank you. I couldn't remember the name of it. Thank you, Drake, again. You got me back into the groove. Now I got to figure out which one I need to download here. Okay, Radar Scope. Let's see if it's going to cost me. Ooh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I got too bad on here, but all I have to do is look outside and tell you what it's doing.
Right. All right, I'm going to start analyzing this and see what the thing's going to do here, so I'm going to jump out for a second. Any damage?
CCBSU, I've got the my log sheet here if I need it.
Yeah, I'm here too, WAVPC. Well, not up there, but down here. Hey, Toby, I see that Antrim County's in the news.
Mike, yeah, I haven't heard any updates lately.
You know, I think the news report with the dam in Bel Air, I think I've seen it on the local TV station down here.
Yeah, they've got seepage coming out from the dam. I think they've got an excavator on standby right now. And up here, if we gain more rain, it's not going to be fun. Torque server is almost full. I mean, right at the torque server bridge.
Yeah, I talked to Leslie tonight on the phone. So she's got Matt's over there too. So anyways, we'll just stand by and let you guys do your thing.
Okay, Mike. CCBSU. I can't remember which call sign to use.
WAVPC.
Alpha Charlie Eagle, listening to the net from here in Northport.
Yeah, Jim, if you're on 86, you may want to use the 19. 86 is having a fit with all the lightning going on right now.
Alpha Charlie 8 Delta Golf, kicking in via Petoskey.
There we go. You're much better there.
Yeah, the only reason I checked in is I looked at history for this storm. Look over at Wisconsin. They've had to issue lots of flash flood warnings for 1 to 2 inches within an hour of rainfall.
Yeah, that's not good news. Yeah, looking at the radar right now, that is a lot of... lot of rain.
Well, there starts up Way Lake and Way River.
All right, well, I guess if there's anybody else out there monitoring, if you got any reports or anything like that, flooding, anything like that, feel free to report it at any time. Any damage? Well, I guess I'll try it. We've got a severe thunderstorm warning for Manistee County now. And they're predicting half-dollar size hail. If there's anybody monitoring from the Manistee area that's got any reports of any kind, please feel free to check in. Is there any damage?